Diesel and petrol engines work in different ways, which means that they need totally different types of fuel. But here's the problem. Engineers and petrochemists are predicting that within the next decade or two, petrol will no longer exist. We'll all either be behind the wheel of an electric car or driving large transporters powered by diesel.
So what is going to happen to the 20% of crude oil chemicals that currently go into making petrol? You can't just add them to diesel fuel because the present generation of engines can't burn them. So researchers at the King Abdullah University of Science and Technology, KAUST, in Saudi Arabia, are developing new forms of fuel and new diesel engine designs that can burn them. Combustion scientist Manny Sarati showed me around.
So we're working closely with industry here in Saudi Arabia as well as around the world to look at how we can maximize the usage of fuels that are generated from a barrel of crude oil. Right now, crude oil is used to make gasoline fuel for light-duty vehicles and diesel fuel for heavy-duty vehicles. In the future, we see that light-duty vehicles will be running probably on electricity. As a result, there's going to be an oversupply of gasoline. And our goal as a research center is to make sure that fuels like gasoline, we call them naphthas, can be utilized in diesel heavy-duty applications. In the refinery side, we actually want to minimize the amount of refining steps, because the less refining you do, the less energy intensive it is. But less refined fuels will not also work in a conventional diesel engine. So at the same time, we're trying to promote a new type of diesel engine application. We call it a partially premixed compression ignition engine. The diesel engine operates in a slightly different mode so that it can burn a larger variety of fuels. The first step is we need to understand what the engine wants. For that to happen, we need to really understand the combustion process in the engine. So these new types of premixed charge compression ignition engines require fuels to auto-ignite with some specific properties. We call that auto-ignition property the ignition delay time. So if we know this parameter, then we can say, how can we formulate the fuel to provide the ignition delay time that the engine wants?
Is that what you're doing in here?
Yes. So my colleague operates this shock tube lab, looking at how fuels would behave, different types of fuels at different temperatures, different pressures, and varying mixture fractions of fuel and air.
Should we take a look?
Sounds good.
This is a big room, and there are a sequence of very, very large stainless steel pipes. They're, 6 inches in diameter pipes, stretching the length of the room. What are they? What do you do with them?
The pipes are roughly separated in half. 4 meters is what we call the driver section of the shock tube. 4 meters is the driven section. And these two sections of pipe are separated by a diaphragm. This is the diaphragm. It's made of aluminum. And on the diaphragm, there's a score. It's scored to facilitate a bursting of the diaphragm. Then on the driver section, an inert gas is injected up to a very high pressure. And then we apply a slight prick to the diaphragm. As the diaphragm bursts, a shock wave will be accelerated down the second half of the tube. In the second half of the tube, there's a mixture of fuel and air. As the shock wave travels down, it compresses the test gases, and then the shock wave hits the end of this tube and reflects back. And as it reflects back, that reflected shock further compresses this fuel-air mixture. There is a series of pressure sensors to determine the shock speed, also to determine what is the pressure of the test gas section.
What about the chemical composition of what's going on in there? Can you see that going on too?
Absolutely. So as the reflected shock goes back, it heats up the fuel-air mixture. The fuel starts to oxidize and undergo various reactions. These can be captured by a number of diagnostic techniques based on lasers.
And by shining laser light in, are you relying on the fact that certain colours or wavelengths of laser light will be absorbed by certain chemicals that are being produced by the reactions?
That's pretty much what happens. Different molecules are going to absorb different wavelengths of light. So we have a spectral database which tells us CO2, hydrogen peroxide, carbon monoxide, different types of hydrocarbons, which are the intermediates of a combustion process. And then you have detectors tuned to detect light coming out at the other end. And then it's a simple relationship, what we call Beer-Lambert's law, which relates the absorption with the concentration of the gas in the test section. And we can monitor this over about a 1 microsecond.
The thing is, a big 6-inch caliber stainless steel tube is not, however, an engine.
It's not replaceable for the real thing, but what it's really good for is making sure our models work well. Now we have accurate chemical kinetic models for our fuels. We can take the fuel formulations which we've tested here, and we can go and test them in our engine facility.
Well, it certainly smells like an engine room in here. It's that beautiful oily smell that people who like fiddling with cars will be acquainted with. So we've got two big engines in here.
A lot of wrenches.
What's the difference between the two?
One is primarily used for a gasoline engine, so it's a spark ignition engine, and the other is mainly meant for diesel engine research as a compression ignition engine.
And they're all rigged up with a whole panoply of different sensors so that you can monitor the conditions going on.
Yes, so just like in the shock tube lab, we were very concerned with the temperature, the pressure, and the mixture, and how that affects the ignition process. The same way, in an engine, you got to control these three parameters. We have compressors to control the pressure intake. We sometimes have heating jackets to control the temperature of the intake stream. We can vary the engine speed to determine the temperature inside the cylinder, the pressure inside the cylinder. And by varying the amount of fuel injected, we vary the mixture fraction inside the cylinder, the mixture stratification. We also measure the emissions that you would be concerned about coming from your engine.
And then what, do you go back to the automotive manufacturers and say, right, look, we know what the fuels can do. This is what you need the engines to do to accommodate these fuels.
That's exactly right. And there's also an engine research community that's helping to develop new types of engine combustion modes. And the research community has developed these engines and said these are the types of engines that are more efficient, cleaner burning. These are the combustion engines of the future. In order for industry to adopt them, industry needs to be comfortable not only that they can make these engines, but they're also going to have the fuel that these engines require.
Mani Sarati at the King Abdullah University of Science and Technology in Saudi Arabia. Thank you to them for letting me into their facility.
You're listening to The Naked Scientist with me, Kat Arney, and with him, Chris Smith. So